Before setting off for the Philippines, Mears had been inspired by the travellers and their vans bedecked in fairy lights who gathered to sing and dance at the Bellingen Global Carnival. On her return, she began searching for a van in which she could escape the confines of her Grafton life. When she saw an advertisement in the Sydney Morning Herald for a 1970s Ford F100 yellow ambulance, she called the seller Mr. Kevin Bible and was won over by the laconic warmth of his voice. Having been assured that the vehicle was roseworthy, she bought it, sight unseen, for $600. Peter Mears remembers with horror the vision of the ambulance arriving in Grafton on the back of a truck. There were no seat belts. The driver's seat was not anchored to the floor. A window was cracked. There were no driver's side or rear vision mirrors. And the horn, exhaust pipe, windscreen wipers, speedometer and fuel gauge all needed fixing. Incensed, he rang Bible, who agreed to pay some of the $4,000 repair bill. Mears's plan was to drive to Adelaide, following no fixed route or timetable, and there complete a Mani Yoga training program. She figured that there had to be a reason why she was still alive. She was not sure that it was connected to her writing, but hoped through her travels to find out. While scared at the prospect of setting off alone in the bush, she nevertheless felt compelled to do so. She could no longer tolerate living in the brick flat, endlessly reworking the past into stories, and waiting for her beloved cat, Belcanto, to come home. At Applebox, she had allowed herself to become controlled, because heading into the unknown of a new relationship and lifestyle felt safer than heading into the unknown world alone. Now she saw the self-imposed exile as a path to freedom. Ah, the headiness of the promise of aloneness, of finally being afflictions and all, the solo driver of my own life. Kim Mahood's Craft for a Dry Lake, a memoir about returning to the Tanami Desert as an act of grieving and restitution, had struck a deep chord with Mears. As was her custom, she wrote to compliment Mahood and transcribed an extract into her diary. I could not articulate what brought me back here, except I was afraid. Since I was a child, I have understood that there is something on the other side of fear. It is not courage which pushes me towards it. One does not stop being afraid. I am making my own blind, fearful dash with no idea of where I will find myself when my eyes open. Pascoe and others tried to warn Mears off the trip, but she could never be talked out of anything once she had set her mind to it. She named her ambulance Ant and Bee, in homage to Angela Banner's books, which had comforted her as a child, and to the insect world she found so fascinating. She set about turning her new home into a cubby house on wheels. Everything was accorded its place. A wooden crate held stationery, an ex-Coles red plastic shopping basket, her simple range of cooking and eating utensils, which included simply a melamine bowl, cup and plate, stacked like games in a box. A carpet that doubled as a mattress sat atop a slightly raised plywood bed, under which she stored an axe, spade, hatchet, cooking tripod and folding solar panel. The freshly painted medicine cabinets held canisters for flour and grains. Cushions, a chair, and small aluminium writing table fitted neatly on top of and wedged between the bed and cupboards. Mears decorated the internal walls with Peter and Yvonne's watercolours, photographs of her sisters, nieces and nephews, and scraps of fabric. With such limited space, she was forced to travel lightly. Since childhood, when she and her sisters would sneak more than the permitted quota of books out of the Grafton Library, Mears had been a voracious reader. She was particularly interested in poetry and Australian and American prose, but she read and reread broadly. While living in Grafton, and when she could afford it in the Applebox years, she frequently sent large orders for an eclectic range of titles to Nicholas Pounder and Glee Books. After her first year at Applebox, she gave away dozens of books by writers who had been supportive of her, but could not part with Modjeska's The Orchard or Maloof's Imaginary Life and Jono. These were her heart books. Now, with only two shelves in her van for books, she chose carefully. A Bible, Stowe's Tourmaline, Wolfe's Mrs. Dalloway, McCullough's The Member of the Wedding, Manane's Tamarisk Row, Cervantes' Don Quixote, Burgess' Pig Earth, a few Ant and Bee stories, some poetry collections, four dictionaries, and a paperback Roget Thesaurus, a gift from Karen in Mears' final year of school. Keen to celebrate her extraordinary recovery and joyous new adventure, she sent out invitations to Gillian's farewell dance party to be held at the South Grafton Emporium on 15 May, just 2 months shy of her 40th birthday. In her speech, she paid respect to the Bundjalung and Gumbinga people, the first people who lived and danced this river country. She admitted having always been too afraid to give in to her intense longing to dance. At school, as I academically rolled about in honour, I had this secret wish, oh, if only a teacher would put me up on the classroom table and say, Gillian, dance, all would be well. Now, no longer afraid to move, she wanted the joy of David springing into dance in the Bible, leaping and spinning. She needed to travel alone, she said, because no one could dance the journey for her.